You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast right here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. Your host, Dave Sturcio, alongside nationally known comedian Brett Ernst, who's actually, as we record this, in Dallas, ready to rock and roll. He's going to be doing two shows. As you hear this, the shows will have already been a major success. So congratulations. Yeah, right. Congratulations on the big crowds, Brett. Of course, we're going to be joined by America's fan Keith Ernst in just a couple minutes as he is battling some L.A. traffic.
Yeah, he's stuck in that L.A. traffic. Dude, Dallas is great, man. It's crazy, too, because you're starting to feel, you know, it's bittersweet when the Cowboys start giving you hope, because all the, you know, we never abandoned them ever.
Right.
Ever. But there are those people. Now, I was in Vegas, and you see so many Cowboy jerseys now. You know, because
come out the woodwork.
Yeah, they're starting to come out, peek their head, which is good. But I don't know, man. I'm excited for the game Monday night, buddy.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm flying out. Like I said, as we're recording this on Friday, I'm flying out there. We'll be arriving Saturday, going to your comedy show on Saturday night. It's going to be a good time. So as people are listening to this and getting up and waking up on a Sunday, with us at Jersey Boys, it is rivalry week, man. We get a great game to go to because of all the announcements already, which they have already announced. Obviously, Jimmy Johnson, Drew Pearson, Cliff Harris, all coming there with getting their Hall of Fame rings. Also in attendance, Troy Aikman, also Michael Irvin, more than likely Emmitt Smith. So a lot of the old school Cowboys will be in the house. I know you and I will be there. It's very exciting. I'm very pumped about it. Joining us right now, America's fan Keith Ernst, who does not have his headphones in. There you go. Puts the headphones in, and there he is. There is America's fan.
Did you say Lil Wayne is going to be there as well?
I did say Lil Wayne's going to be there as well. I'm not sure why, but he's going to be there.
Got Troy Aikman. Well, we got Jimmy Johnson, Cliff Harris, Charlie Waters.
Your boy, Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson.
Michael Irvin will be there. The original playmaker, not Noah Brown.
No, the original's Drew Pearson. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's the original playmaker.
And then we got Emmitt Smith. Dude, that's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be sick. Halftime.
And then there's Little Wheezy.
Little Wheezy. And I know for a fact, that he's a Packers fan. So like, I really don't know. Maybe like Jerry Jones is like,
a Saints fan.
No, Lil Wayne's a big Packer fan, dude. He came up with the song Green and Yellow or whatever. But yeah, it's weird to see that he's going to be there. But maybe Jerry put in a personal call.
No. Wait, Black and Yellow was for the Steelers.
Correct. And he made Green and Yellow.
Because I just remember that one song where he's like, Reggie Bush. I remember that.
But I don't know. Not a clue.
Speaking of people being at games, I was at the Charger game.
Yeah, bro. What a game.
That
huh?
stadium is gorgeous. Let me tell you, it's awesome. Really, really cool.
I have to say though, have you been to Jerry World?
Of course.
Okay, so what do you like better?
Why don't you let him finish, Dave?
I think they're both very similar. I do feel like that you're closer to the feel in the Chargers Stadium the Rams Chargers Stadium than you are with AT&T. But what I do want to say though is that, man, the Cowboy fans come out. Oh my gosh, it was literally probably 85-15, I would say.
Well,
I say right now, there's three fans that listen to the show, or they're going to listen to the show. I just want to bring up one guy's name is Norton from Portland, Oregon. Okay. This guy is awesome. He came down with his crew just for the game. You know what I mean? And they're flying back the next day. I love when people come into other stadiums, territories, you know what I'm saying? And usually a lot of those fans are the best fans. When you think about it,
they had their choice of a home game or an away game, and they chose an away game. Yeah. Exactly. And they don't even live there.
Yeah. I know. So this kid right here, Norton, he's a little younger than me. He was awesome. There's another girl I talked to. Her name was Renee. And then my brother's like,
I heard.
And then there's a friend of mine named Shannon Bailey who was there, who came with her son Maddox. These are awesome, awesome Cowboy fans. And I was just,
listeners.
I can't forget Katie. I can't forget Katie from, and that's it, from Marina Del Rey, Los Angeles. She didn't really make it clear where she was from, but I guess her husband works for the Cowboys. Does something
cool
for him.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
But anyway, she probably was like, get away from me, you're a creep, whatever.
So Cowboys traveling in packs. I almost went as far to say, like, I've never been to a Cowboys road game, but then I'm sitting here like, I go to the Giants Cowboys game every year. But I do every year. I go to the Giants Cowboys game in New York.
Did you spill your White Claw on her?
That's funny, because I was drinking a White Claw and getting made fun of. But no, you know what I don't like, though? You know what I don't like? What I noticed when I was leaving, because last time I went to the Cowboy Rams game, we got our butts kicked in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboy fans, LA Cowboy fans, man, were they mean. Like they were starting fights with all the Charger fans. I mean, it was bad, man.
Really?
It was rough. I went to a Charger fan when I was walking back to the hotel that was with his girl, because this guy's like, yeah, you guys, what? Like going up to him, like, guys, calm down. These are Cowboy LA. But I go to the Charger dude, and this dude was like, guy, relax. Like, you know, and I said, yeah. I told him, don't worry. I was like, don't worry, man. I got you. Like, I'm sitting here sticking up. You know what I mean? Like,
Tensions are high in LA.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, dude, why are you starting fights? Which we just won.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Oh, so this is post game.
Yeah, I'm telling you, post-game, we won.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're talking all this trash afterwards, and it's like, dude, you're not – you think Jerry Jones is going to bail you out if you go to jail? Like, it's just crazy.
And the guy's with his family, and I mean, that's – leave that for the Eagle fans. Remember we saw that when we were at the stadium that one Monday night game, bro? They threw beer on a family.
Yeah.
So what am I getting into, Keith, as I go to this Monday Night Football game with Brett? Am I allowed to cheer, boo? Am I allowed to do that stuff?
Are you trying to get us in an arc? Because I'm telling you right now, dude, I made friends with the whole section. They love me. I'm taking pictures with people. I had the best time ever. He's telling me to sit down whenever I'm getting up to cheer because apparently I'm drunk.
And all right.
My brother was hammered, but that's all right. Don't worry.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, whenever I'm drunk, hammered, I think I look great, and then I'm killing it.
I told bro, all he did was eat chili dogs and chili hamburgers. And I'm not even kidding you. He had like four of them. He's telling me to sit down with his mouth full all the time. I'm like,
oh man. All right. Well, I'm excited. So
you get amped when you watch games.
Me?
Like, you scream and turn and be like, yeah, what's up? Like,
dude, well, Brett's about to find out, isn't he? Because
look how he's twitching right now. You see his head? Like, he
does exaggerating, number one.
All right. Well, listen, I'm hyped. We're both hyped. It's rivalry week. There is a couple things that obviously we got to get to as far as on the injury front, COVID front, all this other crap. Like a lot of the people, a lot of the money is heading towards Dallas. You know, people think that they're, you know, they're hitting a stride here with just the one win, but the great performance against the Bucks, and then they win a game. And then people are just like, okay,
I want to say something though, because we're only going to recap the game because it's been beaten to death already.
Right.
I am so proud of our defense. I think we played great. We got those we caused turnovers. But I will say, I don't know if this has been touched on yet. That was the worst officiating for both teams, man. I've seen this going on in a lot of games. The refs this year, they need to get it together, man.
Did you guys by any chance catch the Texans and Panthers Thursday night football game?
I was watching it on the plane.
That one ball, they called an incomplete pass instead of a fumble. I'm like, and they didn't even like second guess it. They're like, ah, it's an incomplete pass. I'm like, the ball got knocked out of Miles Davis's hand. Davis Mills's hands, and the ball just goes trickling out. And they're like, oh no, the arm was going forward. I said, wait, what? Hold on, timeout. Like, there was 20 penalties, I believe, was counted in the Dallas Chargers game. So that's just too much face time for these referees. Like, you got to
they could have ended the game. Like, you know, we got lucky. They got lucky. You know, it's we both got some awful calls.
Yeah.
And I think it's gross, man. And they
so
really
being at the game myself, like I was telling you guys, I think in text, man, it was very impressive to see the defense from an aerial view and seeing how they swarm.
A good thing I was in favor of the defense too the entire game, right? Like, according to that text, I was like Randy Quaiding the crap out of that game. I was so mad at some point. They couldn't get off the field. It was my problem.
Yeah. Did you see the stats, though, how evenly matched everything was?
Yeah.
It was like 400 total yards, 400 total. It was like going completely down. It was crazy. I think our rushing was more than them, but it all equaled out. I mean, watching them play, it was – they're very – I know Brett didn't agree with me on this, but they're very similar. It's like they're both good teams trying to be great.
Yeah.
When they were playing each other. And that game could have went either way.
Absolutely could have.
Justin Herbert is a stud. I'm telling you right now.
He was dropping them in there, man.
I didn't say that. I think we have a higher talent level than they do. I don't think we're evenly matched.
Yeah.
I do think we're at the same place.
Now
we're both on the rise. And you know, in the preseason, I even said Chargers, I got them getting a wild card. I mean, it's like one of those sleeper teams. But my brother brought up a good point too, which was a red flag, and we don't want to harp on it. The two things that really bother me, one was that clock management thing. That made no sense.
Yeah, it's been addressed, I know.
Yeah, and that's been beaten to death. But also, going for the punt block made no sense. It was an awful call that should have been a 5-yard penalty. But the fact that we didn't set up for a return.
Keith has been beating this like real good over the course.
He is.
The special teams is definitely worrisome right now as far as all aspects of special teams. Greg Zuerlein, yes. Does he come up with the clutch game-winning kick? Sure. Great. Are we trusting him on the next game? I'm not. Not yet. You got to earn that trust. But like as far as like punt coverage, kick coverage, kick return, punt return, nothing looks that good right now. If not, it doesn't look good at all. And that's what's going to scare me, because a game against the guys like Jalen Hurts, right? Like the Eagles are coming in here Monday night, and you know the word on the street on any NFL game is that field position is like number one. You know what I'm saying? And that's how we beat some of these teams, is that the field position kind of favored us. But we got to make sure we pin them and pin them deep and keep them down there. So Jalen Hurts has the crowd behind him yelling as loud as they can. And, you know, closer and closer to the end zone. We got to pin them deep. And the field position game is so pivotal.
See, that stadium is not a home field advantage stadium when it comes
to crowd noise. It really isn't. You're right. You're right. And that's,
I agree.
It's not New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? It is a dome when they want it to be, but it's just too wide open where it does get loud. Don't get me wrong. I've heard it very loud there, but like on a constant basis, they're only reacting to like the big plays and stuff. So you really,
but even then it's just so vast and you're so far up from off the field that it doesn't, you know, last time I was there before this, I was sitting at the art museum in the other room. I mean, it's just the stadium to me is a little too much.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But, again, though, what I love about the attitude, I mean, the team is they know they're going to keep playing like this. And this is what I said in the beginning of the year, I think we all agreed on it, but it's going to keep crescendoing, but it's going to crescendo with a chip on its shoulder, right? It's not like when we started getting arrogant, you know, we've seen what we've won. When we were 13-3, we got a little arrogant. I don't see that.
Not yet.
And I don't think it's going to happen because these kids are too young. We have such a young team, man, defense-wise.
Speaking of some of those younger guys, I mean, we are going to be without potentially as we record this on Friday. There is room for tests to come back the other way. Keanu Neal, he can test negative in two times in a 24-hour period between now and then to suit up. Same thing with Bradley and Nye, who popped up on the list today, as a matter of fact. So that's kind of late to me. That one kind of worries me a little bit. We're already going to be without Carlos Watkins, we're going to be without Dorrance Armstrong. Those guys are already ruled out, according to McCarthy. So all of a sudden,
but Gregory's coming back.
Gregory's coming back, and statistically and historically, he's had some seriously great games against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm excited about that. But now I do beg the question: now with all this stuff going on with the defensive line, you guys watched it. Keith saw it in person. We saw it on television. Micah Parsons has been as advertised, if not better, right? So like they're able to shift him around and do whatever they want with him. Do you think it's a smarter play for him to play on the edge, like across from Gregory, and keep that pressure going on Jalen Hurts? Or do you think Jalen Hurts poses as too much of a running threat where we got to back him off the line a little bit and have him spy? I'll start with Brett.
No, I say we keep. It depends if Neal's playing, you know, because that's a big deal as well. If he could come up and play that linebacker spot as a safety. Then maybe if he's not playing, then maybe we bring Micah back. But I say keep him on the edge and just keep putting that pressure on. I mean, you know, listen, people, a lot of, I mean, obviously younger people don't, older people do, But, you know, this has always happened in the NFL. Like with Randy White, he was a linebacker, right? And then they moved him to the down line, and then he just took off from there. You know, that happens a lot where, and I think Keith brought that up, like when you have injuries and people fit into pieces, you discover those talents. And I think, you know, Micah Parsons could be, I think this might be his home almost, you know what I mean? Like I said, he's like an LT player.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of hype going around. Keith, how do you feel, man? Like you saw it live. You saw how fast he got around that edge plenty of times and flushed Justin Herbert, got his first NFL career sack, which is, again, another weird call with the referees like blowing that dead. I don't know what the hell they were thinking, but it's a sack in the record books. Where do you think Micah Parsons fits best when it comes to this game against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles?
Well, first of all, I had to look up crescendo. What does that even mean?
That means like, you know, when you drink one White Claw and then two and then three.
I meant crescendo.
You start to feel buzz.
Hold on. Wait. He's the actually loudest point reached in a gradually increased sound. Okay.
All right. Okay. Okay. Brett with the job.
Oh, you just spit knowledge on this show.
By the way, those videos, holy hell. Like, we'll have to make them see the light of day.
Micah Parsons, man. Wow. And it's so funny when he's catching somebody, when he's like when he was coming after Herbert, he's a maniac. Like the way he's grabbing at him, it's like he's catching like when Rocky's trying to catch the chicken. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like a Kentucky Fried idiot.
Exactly. That's what he looks like, man. He doesn't stop. And what I love about him is what he said. He's like, look, don't worry about if I'm going to get tired. I mean, he didn't say it like this, but this is what he was saying. He's like, if I'm not going to be 100%, I'm going to tell the coaches to take me out. He goes, but I want to play every play.
Because according to Micah Parsons, the lion is always hungry. Okay, so and that's only to be seen
else.
On Hard Knocks.
And no. So is somebody else.
No. We got it. We know it's so, there.
So here's my thing, really quick. So if O'Neal doesn't play, are we going to see more Jabril Cox then?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we see. He might get some snaps, sure. But look. Let's call it how we see it.
Gifford?
Week one, I was very critical of Jalen Smith. Week two, he played okay. You know what I mean? Okay. So Leighton Vander Esch is playing okay. So if we're going to put Parsons on the edge, you do have guys like Leighton Vander Esch.
I think Vander Esch has been playing amazing.
So here's my thing. That's better than okay. So I don't mean to cut you off, but seeing the game live, obviously Micah Parsons was the best, but my game ball would go to LVE. He was all... Bro, there's one where he filled the gap and they tackled him, and there was a holding call on it.
Yeah,
he came right. I saw that.
Yeah, and he looked right up at the ref, like hello.
I mean, and you know how hard I've been on him. I mean, I've created nicknames for him in our last podcast.
Right.
I mean, but I love when they prove me wrong and tell me to F off.
Well, bro, like I said, we know they have it in them, and again, we've seen it. We've seen they have it in them. And, you know, to light a fire under his ass, too, is phenomenal, too. I mean, look, the kid's talented. We know that they could play ball. You know, again, I don't want to get excited, but because this could easily not go well for us, too.
Very true. Very true. It's always a recipe to be like, okay, we're going in there, flying high. Here we go. And then all of a sudden.
I meant, I don't think we're going to lose by being unprepared or, you know, Philly is still a good team. They're a better team than I thought they were. I mean, at least they're playing better.
Yeah.
Keith, what do you think about that? I know you just popped. I was saying that this is a game we could lose, and I don't mean out of arrogance. And I mean, I think Philly's a better team than I thought they were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm the only one that said that in the beginning of the year.
Well,
I'm saying, but now the way they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, they're 1-1. They got their one win against a really, really piss poor Falcons team. So I'm like, and then they lost to the Niners in a game that was so quiet and subtle.
Yeah, but hold on, though, bro. These teams, there are teams that are playing well and teams that we thought were playing well that aren't playing well. This is the NFL in today's game. So, you know, we don't know.
Go ahead. To say that, it was 25-24 against the Bucs in the fourth quarter with the Falcons. Yeah,
but then they literally handed that game to one on a silver platter
two
and went.
Two pick sixes.
That's what I'm saying. Handed it over.
Very upset about that for other reasons. But I meant, you know, it's, and you know, 49ers, they're right now, if you look in power rankings, they're in the top five and they're in the game the whole time.
And a lot of people are picking the Niners to beat the Packers too. So, I mean, we'll see.
What I'm trying to say is that this Philly team, cannot be taken lightly at all. And this is probably, I mean, if you look, this isn't a stationary quarterback we're facing. He's a very Kyler Murray type, and we saw what Kyler Murray did to us.
Yeah.
Okay. He has another season under. I mean, he has one season under his belt already. Mm-hmm. He's not the same Jalen Hurts we faced last year.
Right.
Last season. Okay.
Correct.
It's very. This game does scare me a lot. But once again, seeing the defense live, having different defensive players that we had last year, and having a new system. And I'm starting to trust it, which is good.
This is going to blow you guys.
Really good.
Absolutely. This is going to blow you guys. I have an
analogy, but go ahead.
I was going to say, this is going to blow you guys away. But, I mean, we could say a million things about Trayvon Diggs and his play because he's been absolutely amazing. And he actually has 5 interceptions in his first 14 games in the NFL, which is nuts. But for the first time since 2007, right now, the Dallas Cowboys lead the NFL in takeaways. Like,
well, we know this.
I know, but it just blows my mind considering where we were last year and where we are now. You know,
here's my streak.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I think I mentioned this to Brett. Don't we have like the most games in a row right now with a turnover?
I mean, if you take it back to last year, maybe. I mean. Yeah, maybe, yeah. Possibly.
I don't know. But go ahead, bro.
Brett, what's your analogy?
This is my analogy. My analogy.
He's a philosophizer.
That this is a one-on-one fight. Now, what does that mean? That means, like, I used to say, look, if I'm getting jumped, I know I'm going to lose. But if I take one or two out, I win, right? Even though I know. But if I'm going one-on-one with somebody this is a one-on-one fight. What I meant is we were supposed to lose – to Tampa, and we wrapped them in the mouth, and you know, we went down swinging, but we lost.
It was like Rocky won.
We ended up hitting this one because people didn't think we were going to win against San Diego. So we just, this one right now is a one-on-one. Like, now this is going to see if we really have a good team or not. And you know, if we have a good coaching staff, you know, does this make sense or
no? Absolutely does. This is the kind of thing where you got to, and I'm not calling Philly a bad team, but I got, it's like the Dallas Cowboys are home, their home opener, high energy in the building. Their team has already been touted to be a lot better than they were last year already, and that's only 2 weeks of football. So I'm thinking if this team is going to really hype us up and we're going to get like behind these guys, they got to beat the brakes off the Eagles.
I don't mean beat. We got to play good football. We don't beat the brakes off of. We have to play solid, good team football. We're not going to beat the brakes off the Eagles. It's not going to happen.
I agree 100%.
But okay. You still are a good. Listen, man. Like I said, it's.
It ain't happening, dude.
We're still a good team, and they're still a good team. But
yeah,
this is going to see how good our defense is. Our offense has been playing great. I think
now
that's on a whole other level.
You say the offense. Does the Amari Cooper cracked rib scare you guys at all? Apparently, he is going to go. He's going to wear a flak jacket. He's going to get all the necessary padding and stuff. I've never cracked a rib before. I know you guys are more active in the sport of football than I have. I don't know how you do that, or is it like something that just hurts to the touch? I don't know.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, all right, so it's awful, and this guy's going to play. So
I could never play. I have a. I'll show you. It's disgusting.
Oh,
but my rib, it's excruciating pain when you breathe in. But if he can go, he can. I mean, Romo played a whole game with a cracked, a broken rib and a
punctured lung. Yeah. Well, hey, listen, so obviously Gallup is out again. We'll readdress that as he gets closer, but it's the Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb show with a sprinkle of, you know, Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown. So tight ends
play great too, man.
Cedric's playing good. He's fast. He's quick. I love being able to go to the line on a third and medium, third and like five, third and six, right? And like back in the day when Witten was playing, we were like, this ball's going to Witten. You know what I mean? Like this ball, you're going to find him. I think the Dallas Cowboys have two guys they can do that with, and that's Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin. I think they're really coming into their own right now at tight end, and that's a really exciting thing considering you got all these weapons on the outside.
Don't forget, too, man. I mean, again, I know this is this, and the controversy needs to stop, but Tony Pollard coming in. I mean, dude, we have so many good, solid weapons.
Yeah. Right. I was going to bring that up.
Consistent weapons.
All week long, there's been, not really all week long, but like as soon as the game was over on Sunday, you know, there was a lot of conversations going around Twitter and Cowboys Twitter and people like that saying, you got to give Tony Pollard the ball a little more. And I said, you know, I was like, you know, I don't think these guys are prepared. And when I say guys, I mean like most other Cowboys fans. I don't know if these guys are prepared to have two functioning good running backs behind Dak Prescott. It's allowed. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a luxury.
Well, yeah, but my whole thing is they got to stop this whole. We've been through this before, and these are people that do not understand the game. They really don't. And I don't mean the short-term memory. And they have a short-term memory as well. It's like, come on, just stop with. They're not concentrating on Tony Pollard. And I will bring up Charlie Hamburg again. When Cowboy fans turned against Emmitt Smith and said, oh, it's Troy Hamburg's turn. He's washed up, blah. And that actually happened. Okay. Stop with that garbage. Just be happy with what we have. It's coming after Zeke the way they are and trying to, not as good. He's losing his step. You can't. No, Zeke is still the better running back. And there's nothing wrong with having Tony Pollard come in and take four or five carries as well.
Yeah, I mean,
he's doing.
Yeah,
but here's a good example. You think if Zeke was out on that screen, that would have worked the way it did with Tony Pollard?
They're different running backs. They're different running backs, and that's why
I think it's not even that. They're not concentrating.
They're not game planning.
They're not keying on them. That's
well.
Something else I wanted to bring. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that. In that same token, I was just gonna say, you're never gonna like Zeke sees stacked boxes. Zeke sees that. You're not going to see them stack boxes when Tony Pollard's in the backfield. That's not happening. You know what I mean? That's definitely not happening.
And on defense, let's go on the other side of the ball. The fact that Randy Gregory's back, this is another reason why I want Micah Parsons at that end. Because, look, Micah is going to start to he's going to start to demand having a ring back or an extra blocker on him. That's going to leave one of those two free.
Correct.
So, you know, either Randy Gregory is going to blow it up, which I think he will this game. I think I really do.
I mean, he's fresh legs right now.
Well, you know, he was our best defensive player until Micah Parsons.
I'm going to hold you to that, bro.
Well, it's either going to be if they're either got to double up on Parsons or put the back spy back on him, right? Or they got to do it on Gregory. They can't do both.
All right. So, and bro, who would you have as the spy on Jalen if you were the coach? And you were the spy.
You mean on Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about edge rushing. I'm not talking about
I'm just saying.
If Neil was playing, that would be my guy.
It wouldn't be Parsons?
No. I'd rather have him at the end. I mean, you can always make that adjustment, you know, at game time, but
and they might have to. And they might have to make that.
Listen, we don't have what's his name? We're down to like five defensive linemen.
Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. The rotation, you know what I mean? The rotation is a little weak this week.
Now again, if Dorrance Armstrong was healthy, then I would say it could change things up, but we still need to get that pressure on him, man. Keep flushing him out of the pot. It'll be fine. I mean, don't forget either, man. Curse has been playing great. Dude, we got some ballers back there, man.
They got guys that can kind of hold their guys. And look, the Eagles poised the problem of having multiple deep threats. You know, like Devonta Smith, the rookie, he's coming in there. He's been making some plays along with Jalen Reagor. And of course, you got Dallas Goedert, who's been a thorn in our side pretty much as long as he's been in the league. So, like, same as Zach Ertz.
Dude,
so they have problems.
Is Deshaun Jackson on their team, too?
No, Deshaun Jackson's over in L.A.
Keith, really quick though, this reminds me again, man, and I hate doing the comparisons, but when we were watching him in the early 90s, I remember, I don't know if it was Isaac Holt, I know James Washington and Thomas Everett, we had like three safeties that could just knock and get to the ball, and I kind of feel we have that now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're hitting now, man. No, I mean, like I said, I mean, this is one of the better defenses I've seen.
Dude, Curse has been playing phenomenal, man.
you got it. Yeah, I mean, and we're picking the ball off. Like I said, the turnovers being the fact that we can even talk about that kind of stuff 1 year removed from being, you know, one of the worst defenses in football. And now all of a sudden we're forcing turnovers. And I would say this, as far as guys that can hold their men, that's what's going to be the problem. So if you do flush out Jalen Hurts and he goes on the run, that's mm-hmm. where I think Jalen Hurts could be most difficult to deal with. If you make him pass in the pocket, right, I think we have a better shot to absolutely. Make him make some really bad decisions.
That. He's not that tall.
Exactly. So
his legs can beat us. No, I agree with you.
That's the problem.
But we want to chase him out of the pocket because eventually you're not going to win a game with a running quarterback constantly.
Well, I don't know, bro. I'm at Lamar Jackson.
We'll see. Because Lamar Jackson still can't throw to me.
What are you talking about, stop. Dude?
I don't like Lamar Jackson at all.
I know you're nuts. He's a beast, bro. He's a beast.
But yeah, I will Lamar say this.
Jackson is a great,
and he's from Broward County.
And you know, and I will say this, guys. Do you know, mm-hmm. I'm assuming since the practice was as good as they say it was this week for the Dallas Cowboys, you know who probably served as Jalen Hurts on the practice field, right? Mr. DiNucci. Oh, absolutely. He's the fastest. Horrible. He's the fastest quarterback they have on the roster. So maybe they had him run
Cedric
around.
Wilson back there.
Oh yeah. Put our wide receiver three as their starting quarterback to run around. That's smart. So, but anyway, I will say this.
Listen, I don't mind if they got him flushed out of the pocket. He's not going to listen. I'd
rather keep him in.
Eagles are.
I see what you're saying, bro, but I'd rather just.
Oh, so I'm saying you would rather not put pressure on him just so he doesn't run?
Well, I want pressure on him, but I just want it to be in the from the outside.
I don't want him to get outside. He's going to have to step up, and that's where that spy comes in. So you have to really worry about who's going to be in the middle to watch if he decides to take off. Now, I will say this.
Great game, bro.
But yeah, it is. That's what I was going to say too. Don't do this, Starchy, which you were doing on the last one.
What?
This is still good offenses and great. The defense is going to give it up. They're going to get some big plays, Philly.
I know.
It doesn't mean we suck.
I know. I know. But I will say this. According to the Eagles injury report on Friday, Jordan Mailata, their starting offensive tackle, did not practice. That might be a thing. They're down a couple linemen as it is.
They're down their starting guard.
Yes, they're down a couple guys. And they lost Brandon Graham on the defensive end. So the Eagles are coming in here a little hobbled, just like Dallas, on multiple fronts. So it's a very even game.
Well, that's what I said. We're going to see that all over the league.
Friday practice, Fletcher Cox did not practice for the Eagles. I mean, that's probably like a rest thing, like a Veterans Day off kind of deal. But again, they're beat up. You know, we'll see if we match up. I have to ask you guys this because you guys are the kings of like seeing if something's generic or something is just like whatever, that's cool. All right. So Nick Sirianni shows up to his press conference the other day with a Beat Dallas shirt on, right?
Right.
Do you guys like, does that fire you up at all? Or is it just like, you're a cornball. Don't even worry about it.
No, to me, I don't think
he's brand new coach. That's what bothers me.
You know what? I got my Keith. What's your take on that?
Keith is on the he's got one of the little Ernst is over there. So,
one of my nieces is
one of your nieces is in the house. So,
go ahead, bro. You go.
I would
first
say it doesn't. I actually kind of like it.
You do.
Yeah, I do. All right. I think it's kind of because he's a younger guy too. You know what I mean? I mean, he's getting into it. He's trying to get the Eagle fans on his side. I see what he's trying to do, and I don't think it's going to make any kind of difference. But I don't think it was generic. I kind of like it. I would do something like that. If I was the Cowboy head coach, I definitely would come like beat the Washington football team shirt or mm-hmm. something like that. I would do something like that.
I told Keith this a long time ago. The coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't know if they do this or not. I didn't see it on Hard Knocks. I sit him in and I play them a video in the history of the team and what we went through and, who our rivals were and just watching those old school players, the way they fought and left it on the field and tell them they're part of this legacy. What this coach is doing, which I do respect, is he's trying to bring back that old school feeling. But I think the fans have it more than the players do. They don't really hate each other.
I agree
100%. Like,
I mean, there's been a couple guys that came out there and said they don't like Zeke Elliott already came out and said he dislikes Philly the most. I mean, that's just normal.
DeMarco Murray go?
To Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay.
And when he rushed against the Cowboys the next year, he rushed for 2 yards. Remember that?
But listen, man, a lot of that has to do with a lot of the fans talking smack, right? But the way the players were back then, if you ever watched that thing on the Dallas Cowboys, on their the top Dallas Cowboys and top NFL players, when they get to Randy White, what's his name? Was it Mark? I forget. Mark May? I forget the offensive lineman that was for the Redskins that just kept giving him his props but refused to say he liked them.
That's good. That's old school mentality.
That's that old school rivalry. What that coach was doing is trying to bring that back a little. I don't think the players give a crap today in today's day. And the image and the day of Instagram and personal branding, you know, like the whole thing when you got 11 guys in the end zone when you recover a fumble. You know what I mean? Just stop,
they're doing the Rockettes over there, just
like taking Yeah, it's so generic.
Oh my God! Don't get me started.
You recovered a fumble, and then we haven't had a sack in like 3 years. Vander Esch is howling again. It's like, dude, stop.
Act like you've been there before. I agree. I hope that's old school mentality, but I agree with that. Now look,
that's
so
your generation's little start.
Hell yeah, my generation. So. And by the way, Zeke Elliott's last 100-yard rushing game was against the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's hope that maybe that turns the tide there and we control the clock. So it's time.
I have a prediction. I think Zeke goes off this game.
I think he's going to – if he does, it's going to really start to, like, say people like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry.
I feel my brother gearing up. he's getting ready to call me next week.
All right, so no, I will –
I agree.
It's that time of the show where we're going to make some predictions. All right. Obviously, Keith brought us some good luck on the road. Me and Brett will be in the house on Monday Night Football. I'll start with Keith. Do the Dallas Cowboys get to home open? You know, they open up Jerry World. They got the ring ceremony. They got all this atmosphere. They're in prime time again. Do the Dallas Cowboys get it done in their home opener against the Philadelphia Eagles?
Okay. So what you just said means absolutely nothing.
That's not
true
at all.
They don't care about the ring. They don't. Do you realize when the triplets were inducted to the Ring of Honor, we lost to Washington in the last seconds?
I don't remember that, but all right. The last game in Texas.
Do
you realize the last game in Texas Stadium I was at and froze my ass off in?
Is that the Ravens?
Yeah, it was the Ravens.
That was rough.
What you just said means absolutely nothing. So
I got a bad bar fight that night.
But here's the thing. I know you've brought that up before. So here's the thing, okay? None of that has anything. Look, and I brought up the Chargers. I did pick us to lose against the Chargers. I was the only one here. But the thing with the Chargers is we didn't beat them since, like I said, since Drew Brees was their quarterback. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And bro, I don't know if you remember this. You know that the Chargers ruined our Thanksgiving, but I forgot all about this and I didn't bring it up. Do you remember how the Chargers, and this is why I'm you, Sturge, when you're like, yeah, I'm having a baby boy, which is a blessing. That's why we're going to win the Super Bowl. That means nothing, okay? The Chargers beat our ass.
Hey, yo, talking about my unborn kid here.
The Chargers beat our ass on my daughter, my first daughter, Andy Jo Ernst, her baptism. Me and Brett are watching the San Diego Charger game as the priest is walking down the – All right, we got our butts kicked. The universe does not care about stuff like that. So everything you're saying with this person's getting a ring, that person's getting a statue, it doesn't matter.
That being said,
I think the Eagles are a lot better still than people think. They're still not getting the respect that I think maybe they should. They might be the best team in the NFC East. I know you guys don't want to hear this. I know.
That's okay. Listen.
Hey, bro,
I'm hearing it.
I will say – the reason we're going to win, if this was in Philly, I would take Philly.
Okay.
And I think Philly has a better
home field advantage. Weird. So hold on, let me finish. All right,
I don't think we have a good home field advantage in Dallas. I think it's more neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I take the Dallas Cowboys only because we're home right now. And if you're in Vegas, I take the Eagles with the 3 and 3.5. If it's 3.5, take the Eagles because we're not winning by more than a field goal.
I don't know if I could sit through another last second field goal win. I don't know if my heart could take it.
It's gonna happen. I'm telling you. It's gonna be all right. A good game,
but you're picking the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
All right, Brett, where are you at with this game? We're gonna be in the house. It's gonna be ring ceremonies. I gotta keep doing this. Yeah, there's a ring ceremony.
Let me get to it. First of all, I know you guys broke my balls about what I said. It's the way we lose to Tampa. it might be a better thing if we lost, because, and I didn't think in the beginning we were going to lose to San Diego, even though I changed my mind at the end because of the way they played. I'm telling you right now, the worst thing that could happen to this team is if we blow the Eagles out. We want to win, right? But in order to keep that crescendo, we need to, I think we're going to win the game. I think Keith's right. It's going to be very close. I do not see us beating the brakes off the Eagles. And again, they're just as hungry too, man. I mean, you know, we were all embarrassed last year. That whole division was embarrassed. And, okay. And you know, Jalen, this isn't his first year. He's playing well. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't want us to blow him out. I think if we blow him out, then we start getting stupid, right? And I think we need to keep getting punched in the face. But again, this is a one-on-one fight. This is, you know, one of our biggest bullies in the schoolyard. And this it's going to be a good game. But I think the Cowboys should win this game.
Okay. Well, you guys are
be close.
You guys are on the it'll be close train right now. Look, the Cowboys showed a lot of offense in that first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the best defense in football, right? And then they go out and they play San Diego.
It's game one.
Understood. And then Los Angeles, we go into L.A. We didn't play the best scoring offensive game, but we did put up a lot of nice yards on the ground. We finally showed some balance, right? This is the game that it all comes together for the Dallas Cowboys. I truly, truly believe that after watching what they've done in two games.
Oh, God, Keith.
In two games. I know you guys are all like, this is crazy. I totally understand. I'm gonna be tugging on Brett's shirt the entire time, the entire game. Like, look, they're about to score again. Look, I think the Cowboys offense is high powered. I think they're gonna show it. I think Dak Prescott's gonna do it in front of the world. And I think that with Jimmy Johnson, Cliff Harris, and Drew Pearson in the house, with everybody there, big ambiance, old Cowboys, old triplets. Would have lost this game, no matter what, no matter who was there. Cowboys team, I haven't even made my damn pick yet. Hold on. So the Cowboys will go head-to-head with the Eagles, and they're going to go shot for a little bit, but they're going to pull away at the end. I got the Cowboys winning 34-20. That's where I'm at. 14-point win.
Here's my next question, but Brett
doesn't want to blow him out. So
no, I don't want to.
I see his point. I get it.
I get it.
You got to still play with that chip. And the only way you play that chip is if you still feel you're not good enough. Now, the other thing I'm going to say to you, little Sturch, is this, okay? I'm going to buy you ice cream when we get there.
Okay? Yes.
I'm going to take care of little Sturch.
Yeah.
But no, for real. Let me ask you this question. If you were in, how old are you?
36.
All right. When you were 23,
would you be 13 years ago? Sure.
And let's say you're playing for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. Is your heart beaming with pride if they were giving an award ceremony to say Mel Renfro, Don Meredith, and Walt Garrison?
So you're saying that the younger kids don't really care?
They don't. They're so far removed from them. They're Quincy Carter, man. They're Terrell Owens. Now, if Terrell Owens was there and was getting indicted, even though, you know, again, I'm just using an example of a cowboy of that era that they were kids and watched, or a Marion Barber, I would probably say, yeah, they are so far removed. The last time these guys played, these kids weren't even born, dude. They could care less.
Yeah, they're not Cowboy fans, bro. If they were Cowboy fans, but they're not.
No, I'm saying we're Cowboy fans. You think we'd be as excited, again, if Walt Garrison was getting a ring, or if, you know, if Chuck Howley was going in?
I mean, Drew Pearson's your favorite player. You're not.
No, I know what he's saying. We didn't see Walt Garrison and Chuck Howley.
They didn't see any of these guys play. That's all I'm saying. Like, to him, it's just, you know, it's like when you meet an older person and you're being respectful. Now, I'll tell you right now, if I'm 23 years old and I'm playing middle linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys and Randy White and Drew Pearson and Tony Dorsett are getting in, you bet your ass I'm going to play my butt off for them. Because that's who I grew up watching. Exactly. These guys didn't grow up watching any of these kids. They don't even know. They just know Troy Aikman's an announcer.
True. Yeah.
You imagine that? You imagine, hey, once upon a time, this guy was an actual quarterback. What a couple Super Bowls. So, I mean, it's crazy right now. I picked the Cowboys. You guys are riding with the Cowboys, but don't think it's going to be as convincing. We're fine. We're all picking the Cowboys this week.
Don't want us to win that way. I want us to win.
You want a hard fought, get out of town. Like, let's do it.
No injuries, even on both sides. I mean, you know, if you don't want to give them a look, yeah. But I want no injuries. and I want us to play good, solid football, good cost management, good special teams decisions. Not
this
like,
is that's what scares know. Me. But you know what I realize is that Crescendo would make like a really cool band name, right? Like a grudge, like a grudge, like a Nirvana,
well, no,
like Crescendo.
I'll tell you why, because it's an actual musical term. So if you're going to do a band name, it's got to have some type
of... Why can't it have a musical term for a band name?
Because they usually those types of
bands...
I mean,
that even makes more sense.
No, that's... You don't get it. They like being ironic.
Don't you think?
So, they would use a name that has nothing to do with music.
All right. Well, look, it's we're here. It's Dallas. It's Philly. It's Monday Night Football. It's the Jersey Boys podcast as Brett Ernst boards his elevator right now as he's about to head out for his first show. If you could cut off, don't worry about it, Brett. No worries. But for Dave Sturcio and, of course, America's fan Keith Ernst and Brett Ernst, let's go, Cowboys. Get this dub on Monday night. Make sure it's a hard-fought win. Don't blow anybody out. Just make sure it's a hard-fought win, and we'll get to 2-1, and we'll be in sole possession of first place in the NFC.
Crescendo.
See you guys later.